Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County and further afield. Speaking of further afield, Irish Rugby with a good win over Wales today, beating them on a scoreline of 27 to 18 points. Things not as comfortable, however, for the Irish as maybe first thought. The Cork Camogie team had a good win in Super Value Parky Keeve in their clash against Waterford. Our very own Mel Brown was there for us at that one, and we will get to that one in a bit. And our footballers as well, they had a poor outing in Division 2 against Monaghan, losing 3-16 to 1-15. We're going to start here though with a passing that seems to have affected the whole country really, but especially out in Lambert Sound, out by Mallow. The tragic passing of Cork jockey Michael O'Sullivan. Huge sympathies to all his family and friends here from everyone in Red FM and the Big Red Bench. We're going to remember now arguably his greatest moment in the saddle when he won the opener at the Cheltenham Festival in 2023 on trainer Barry Connell's Marine Nationale. Here he is speaking to Matt Chapman after that famous race.
Well, here is Michael O'Sullivan, who's just won his first Cheltenham Festival race. Michael, how does that feel?
Unbelievable, Matt. A massive relief. I'm just so lucky to get on this horse. I've been very kind to put the faith in me. And all his team at home, they work so hard and they've really welcomed me in there. And we're having an amazing season. I don't think it can be topped, but the horse is just incredible. I turned in there and I wasn't sure what I was holding on to, but by God, he actually won easy.
When you were riding point to point in 2019, was a day like this what you were dreaming of?
Oh, absolutely. Days like this is what I was dreaming of since I was riding ponies. When I was 3 and 4 years of age, and my father and my grandmother and my mother and all my family, they've been so supportive of me, and you know, to get a day like this, I could retire in the morning.
And Barry Connell has supported you. He has always had faith in this horse. He's basically told everyone the boy would win.
He did. He put his chest out and he was right.
I have a feeling it won't be the first at Cheltenham that you put your chest out, Michael. Congratulations. You are a Cheltenham Festival hero. Well done.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, one of the great Cheltenham moments there, perhaps made all the greater now. We're going to listen to a snippet of Off the Ball's Racing Pod. We'll hear from John Duggan, Johnny Ward and Wareham colleague JJ Sliven as they remember Michael.
It's William and Bernie, his brother Alan, his partner Charlotte, his relatives, his friends, his racing colleagues. As William said at the funeral, Michael was much loved and will be missed. We're brokenhearted, but we will now focus on what Michael would have wanted. He would want us to mend over time, to support Alan and find joy in his achievements. He would want us to find joy in the achievements of his cousins and friends and his many Wayne Room colleagues. May you all stay safe. Michael will forever be in our hearts and minds. We have on the line Michael's Wayne Room colleague, JJ Sliven. Afternoon, JJ.
Afternoon, Ed.
First of all, JJ, we're very sorry. We really appreciate you talking to us on what's an incredibly tough time for you and for everybody in the Wayne Room. There are sometimes no words when it comes to these situations, JJ, but perhaps you might be able to speak about Michael and the person you knew.
Yeah, so Michael first came to my attention. He probably would have been 15 or 16, riding out with Joseph on the hill. He spent two summers down there. But I do remember the first day he came into the yard, he was a natural talent from the get-go. And he really stood out as a good rider straight away. Lovely set of hands, lovely seat on a horse, got his heel good and deep around the horse, just natural talent. And it was evident from then, I remember thinking to myself, we're going to hear plenty about this lad. And he had a great manner, a great way about him. I remember when he started riding, I used to bring him to the races a little bit, and he was a very straightforward fella. And my heart goes out to his family and everybody, the O'Sullivan family, great point-to-point people. Look, it's similar to ourselves at home in Wexford, and we've known them for a long time, Eugene and Maxine and everyone, so it's a tough time for everybody.
The Wayne Room's a unique place, JJ, in that as sports people you go out and you compete with each other, but then you're in the dressing room sitting beside each other. There's a solidarity as a group when the race is over.
Yeah, for sure. Michael, he had a great circle of friends. Was one thing I always remembered about him. There was a group of lads who were very, very close, as Johnny mentioned a few of them, Ben Harvey, John Gleeson, Tom Harney, Harry Swan. These guys, you know, they really hung around together. They were a real you know, group of lads who went, they did a lot of things outside the race, and they were going to concerts, and they always come to the races, you know, dressed very smart, and they were a great circle of lads who went around together. And Michael was right in the centre of that, and you know, you would see him interacting with each other at the races daily, you know.
You talk about his teenage years there, JJ, and the talent then began to flourish, and we saw the Marine National race a couple of years ago. It's the first race at Cheltenham Festival, the roar goes up, and you were riding in the race, and he really arrived that day. He rode like a champion jockey, Marine National.
Yeah, like from his point of point days, he was champion novice rider, rode 16 winners. Like he was exceptional from the get-go, and the grounding he would have got from his father and all his family really stood to him, and the point of point stood to him. And two rides that stuck out in my mind, the first one was Marine National in the Royal Bond. As a man, I was a young lad claiming £5 that day, and the ride he gave him was unbelievable. It was literally, it was like sort of ride Paul Carby would give a horse the confidence. He went out and rode him with and just landed him there, and then he went to do it again in the Supreme on the biggest stage of all. I followed Paul Townend down to the last on the bridle on Fastside Vega, who was probably would have been a warm order that day, and picked him off the back of the last. Like, they were the things he was capable of doing at that age, and with not much experience under his belt as a professional. Like, he was an old head on young shoulders, really.
What has it been like, JJ, in the weighing room? You know, I suppose it was he passed away on a Sunday, we'll say, and it happened Thursday, 2 weeks previous to that. So it had been going on. There had been, you know, the odd jumps beaten in that time as well. I imagine it was tough. You know, a lot of jockeys rode in those first couple of races at Thurles that day as well. And I suppose I'd be just conscious of looking after the jockeys who might have been affected by it and are struggling from it since.
Yeah, well, obviously I was there in Thurles that day. I hadn't ridden on the day, but I was in the weigh room, and we were aware, you know, pretty quickly that things were pretty serious, and they ended up calling off the meeting, which was a godsend for the other lads that were riding on the day, because they would have struggled to get through the day. I think everybody done the right thing, and then because obviously the other fixtures were cancelled, so. We went back in Punchestown yesterday. I suppose it was nice that we got going again and get back focused and get back racing. You know, that was nice. I found a minute of silence particularly tough myself anyway in the driving before the first race. I had a ride in the first day yesterday. That was tough, but we put on our helmets and we managed to get up and go again. So, but it was it was a funny atmosphere in the way of racing. I suppose it was definitely a bit quieter than normal.
The type of fella as well, JJ, that you know, and JD spoke about his dad speaking at the funeral, that I imagine he is the type of guy that would really want you to get back on the horse literally, and to carry on and in his memory.
Yeah, I think so. And look at Alan, has been making a name for himself as a point of point rider, and he's been doing particularly well. I will watch the point of point replays when they come up there on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and Alan has been catching my eye. Like, so I'm sure Alan is going to continue on, and Michael will be there to help him and guide him from above now, hopefully, and he will be, you know, forever there to help him out, you know.
Michael was doing what he loved, JJ, and this is what he wanted to do, and it was a big part of who he was. And William spoke in the eulogy about Michael wanting to find the joy in the achievements of his weigh room colleagues, including yourself. This is what you do, JJ. This is what you do.
Yeah, look, that's what we do, is right. You know, like, from a young age, Michael was no dissimilar to myself. Just wanted to be a jockey and ride horses, and the reason to do that is to, but first of all, for the love of horses, and the second of all is to win, you know. And the winning is what keeps us going, and that's what keeps us motivated. And look at Michael, in his short time with us, he achieved a hell of a lot, you know. And like those Cheltenham winners, and you know, he had a hell of a career in a short period of time. And it's just, he's been taken way too soon, and you know, God knows what he'd have done if he'd have stayed around, you know.
You're riding intense raffles at Ferry has since Saturday, JJ. And it's important now that everybody in racing rallies around each other. It is a very strong community. It'll have to be strong now.
Yeah, for sure. I know it will have to be strong. I mean, this is the third instance that I can remember where I've been at a meeting or something like that. It's happened when I was in Wexford today. Darren Cullen had his accident, the Pint of Pint. And then I rode today, Jack Tyner had the fall in Dungarvan. But it's, they were horrific days. And it's going to be really, really tough for people. It's going to be, look at some his family and friends, and they're never going to get over it. But it's going to take a long time for the industry as a whole to get over what has happened. And thankfully, people have rallied around. Jennifer Pugh has done an amazing job. She got everyone up to the Curra, all the jockeys and whoever wanted to go, just over in the race course the other day. And we sat down and we had a chat, and Jennifer and Dr. Kiro and Harold, the two of them were there, and they were unbelievable. And anyone who wanted to say that and had a, could say their bit. And Jennifer talked for a lengthy period, and that was great for everyone. And it was great that people could share their thoughts and help grieve, you know.
JJ, we're really sorry, and our thoughts are with you, and we appreciate you speaking so eloquently, and thank you for coming on. And look, we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Les. Thanks very much.
Okay. Earlier today, Cork Camogie got off to winning ways in their very National Camogie League game versus Waterford in the park. The Big Red Bench's Mel Brown was there for us to talk about proceedings. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Mel Brown. Mel, you were out for us today in Super Value Park in Kyiv as Cork Camogie had a nice win against Waterford, 2-10 to 7-point winners.
Yeah, it was a great win, a great start to the campaign. I say Jura's happy. As you said, 2-10-7 victory. It dictates what was settling into the game. I think it was about 7-8 minutes and Sturrock and McCartan got the first score of the game. But once they got that first point over, they really did sell themselves in. A really good sideline by Ashton Thompson led to a goal by Hannah Looney, a goal from Ciara Sullivan. The experienced players really did step up today. And we saw that as well with Libby Coppinger. She's back from injury, I should say. That back line, she's the spine of that team. She really held it together. Throughout the match, Cork's defence was just unmatched. Waterford couldn't get past them. There was a bit of a... In the second half, Cork did kind of let the legs get the best of them. Waterford nearly got back within, I think it was 6-7 points. But that defence, they were amazing. There was nothing getting past them.
Well, brilliant stuff. What players in particular do you think stood out across the team for you?
Ciara Sullivan, anyway, off the top of my head, she was on ball all over the pitch today. She got the first goal of the game and she set up a lot of good passes. Orla Catalan, she was unlucky today. She missed two goals on the score sheet. She probably didn't come across as good as she did. She set up the second goal, a good pass. She was selfless today. So obviously she wasn't getting the goals, but she wasn't afraid to keep going for it. She passed ball, good ball across field, and I think it was Hannah Looney. There was a few slitter or a few hurlies hit that goal. And then Laura Hayes, she got a big challenge to the chest, but she stood up, took the free, and I think that resulted in a point. And then the new girls, there's a few. And Ava Fitzgerald, she came on, I think it's her second or third year with the team. She's only 21, 22. And it's just good to see those new legs come on, fresh perspective.
Yeah, Laura Hayes, of course, Camogie player of the year as well. Great for getting off to a good start to the season. What was the mood like in the camp after? I mean, with a performance like that, is there a whole lot, I guess, a team like that can take away from it?
They were delighted, yeah. Jer was happy with the performance. Obviously, the discipline, they got three yellow cards. One of them was a bit... But, you know, there is that thin line between aggression and just really attacking on the ball. But other than that, they were happy out. You know, first win of the league. It's been 12 years, I think, since they last won the league. Obviously, three in a row is on everyone's mind. But for those new players and the older players, like, winning a league this year could be the difference between three in a row and not getting three in a row.
Absolutely. Well, a team that's in desperate need of... a league win, I'd say, is the men's team as well, who take on Tip later on this evening. They've had a great league campaign so far. Well, what have you made of it?
It's been good, yeah. You know, no losses on the board yet. Did they get lucky against Limerick in the closing minutes? Maybe, but as a point stand, I think they have three, is it? Heading into round three. Like,
A win and a draw. And the draw against the greatest team of all time, you could say, to be fair. So we'll probably take that one.
But I don't think Tip will lie down easily today. I think the last time we played them in Thurles was last May. Was it, what, 4:30 to...
It was a rout anyway,
It was a rough game for Tip. We've seen that young lad now, his name escaped
Darren McCarthy.
Yes, he's going to do damage today, I think. But Cork, they're good. Micheál Mullins from the Glen, I haven't seen much of him, but obviously Pat Ryan knows what he's doing. He might do something magical in the half-back line.
Hopefully, we need these young guys like himself coming into the team. Unfortunately, Ben Cunningham got injured, you know. We really needed him, I felt like, going forward this year. From watching any of the games so far, is there any particular player that has impressed yourself, Mel?
Darragh Fitzgibbon, you have to give it to him. Last year, the year before, he's just always been there and about. He is, I would say, one of the main players for Cork. He always stands up. He's always on ball. He could be down in his own half back line defending. You look 2 minutes later, he's shouting for ball up in the half forward line to pop it over. He is just a real leader on and off the field, I'd say.
Yeah, he was probably unlucky not to win that player of the year last year if things go Cork's way. And there's no jersey pull at the end of it. Maybe Dara does win the player of the year as well. But yeah, he's uber consistent in this Cork team. Tip probably do pose more of a threat this evening with those young guys, really seem to be driving their team forward. Darren McCarthy, Dylan Walsh in there springing to mind. Jake Morris has obviously been around there a few years. So last year, not that it was a fluke, but I just think we got Tipperary on a very bad day, to be fair.
Yeah,
I'm expecting it
we were on the best momentum. They were obviously didn't have the best of championships last year.
No, but I suppose it did surprise me how in their own backyard we outnumbered them about, geez, it felt like about 7-8-1 in their own club. Yeah. But I don't know what it'll be like that tonight, but it should be a good occasion. Just give us a score prediction. What do you reckon, what way do you reckon tonight's going to go?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. I'm going to say Cork to win by 4, but it won't be an easy game.
Cork to win by 4. Well, I'm saying Cork are going to win by 8. I'm doubling your prediction, but look, we'll wait and see. It could be like the Welsh game, everyone getting cocky, but then the tip come and surprise us. Look, Mel, thanks so much for speaking to us.
No problem, Dan. Thanks a million.
And after the game, Mel caught up with Cork boss Ciarán Manley.
So you're obviously very happy with today's result?
Yeah, delighted. Look, first time out, I suppose. We haven't too much done, I suppose, but I thought we played well for the majority of the game.
Definitely, yeah. And your full back line, half back line in the second half there, they really denied Waterford. They were not getting past them.
Libby hasn't played it a game in, I don't know how long, and she's been well in training the last 2 weeks. So, look, we're going to mind her, which, look, especially when we're playing down here, the pitch is very good in the park, so it's perfect for her to come back in. I thought her backs are very good also.
Yeah, you know? And you mentioned maybe she's back from injury. Is there any other injury concerns?
There's a few missing, there's a few of them just coming back into it, so we're not rushing them back in, you know, the older girls, that's it. The experienced girls. And giving their credit, they're very tuned into it, and I'm trying to make a squad, as you can see, but I thought we did well in general. Probably our finishing could have been a bit better, but that's to be expected.
Yeah, and you mentioned early experience quality, so was Ava Fitzgerald and Millie Candon came on,
Maeve Ring, they're only, Maeve, I think, is 22, Ava's only out of minor last year. Mm-hmm. Millie's been with us 2 years now, so just get them on and give them games. Do you know what I mean? And they get a bit more time now as we go along.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, they're doing well in training. That's the key for me. If they do well in training, we give them an opportunity here. And as you can see, I suppose we had probably a good few chances. We could have probably 2 or 3 more goals in the first half. Mm-hmm. Their keeper did quite well, but look, we're delighted. First time out, hard to beat Waterford. They're very much every day they go out, they do their best, and I just thought we're well over them today.
Yeah, they didn't lie down. And obviously, you mentioned the goals of Orla Cathlan. She was unlucky, but she was selfless. That second goal there was set up well by herself.
Great goal,
it was amazing.
Yeah, she's a brilliant player. She's very good in the ball. I suppose, look, today is not really a forward's day, you know. They're brilliant. The wind was very strong, you wouldn't realise it. And look, we're a bit rusty, but hopefully we'll get better in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so obviously, long term goal, 3 in a row, but is league success something you're looking for?
Very much important. Look, we try to win every match. We went out last year to win the league as well. It's my 4th year involved, and we got to the league final the first 2 years last year. I think Tip caught us down below on the Parky Ring, and Galway caught us the last 2 years in the last 2 games. And thanks, Marion. And in all fairness, I thought we were. we always look for it. Mm-hmm. Like, the girls are competitive. I think the league this year is very competitive. There's a huge gap to the championship.
Yeah.
So it's important to get games into them, because I found it very hard to get challenge games from there.
Yeah.
I suppose, look, we played one or two early on, and last month be nothing. So
yeah.
And you can see today we probably got a bit tired near the end, but look, that's to be expected.
Yeah, and discipline, obviously, I think it was 3 yellow cards. That's something. It's hard to kind of balance the
times
of the
Murphy has been unlucky a couple of times. Ash was. I didn't see that. I thought she got flicked, but and the other yeah. But look, I think Liz is a great ref, so Liz is probably one of the best in the strong. So look, I have no issue. Yeah, really cares. Look, the Camogie game, I think, is getting a bit tougher, so it's good. But I suppose we have to improve our discipline. And Beck Carton's a great free taker, so we just have to be careful.
Very good,
Beth. Yeah, great stuff there. Great win. And from one boss to another now, as Joe McCarthy has been speaking to Cork boss Pat Ryan of the Rebels League fixture versus Tip in Semple Stadium at 7:30.
Now, later this evening at FPD Semple Stadium in Thurles, it is the Allianz Hurling League Division 1A All-Munster clash between Tipperary and Cork. Throne is at 7:30 p.m. and we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by the Cork senior manager, Pat Ryan. Pat, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Very good, journey yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. Looking forward to this one, as I'm sure you and the players are. You've had a bit of a break heading into it, but while you've been waiting, Tipperary have gone joint top of the table alongside Kilkenny and Galway. Now, I know they lost to Limerick last time out, but were you as impressed as I was with the way that they performed in that game?
Yeah, look, in fairness, look, they're a very, very good team. And look, obviously, it was a great game for both counties again, really. You know, nip and tuck could have gone either way. So, look, we're expecting a huge challenge on tonight, you know.
Yeah, Liam Cahill is still in charge, of course, obviously, of the Tipperary Hurlers. The last time you were in Semple Stadium, you registered a fantastic and a pretty one-sided victory in the Munster Championship last year. Does that have any bearing on this, other than obviously Tipperary always want to beat Cork whenever they play them, but do you think that's going to be in some of the Tipperary players' minds?
Yeah, not too sure. Look, obviously that game is, look, you're trying to park those games and try and learn from them and move on. And look, obviously some of those things, you take motivation for the following year just to get better across the board. And look, from our point of view, look, we know that Tipperary have an awful lot done. You know, they have a very strong team at the moment, and you know, they seem to be doing very well from an injury profile and stuff. So look, our job really is to make sure that we can get a good performance out of our lads. And you know, it's all probably a learning curve for some of the new lads that we might be playing, and obviously just building really for championship, you know, trying to get in good performances. And look, we've obviously 3 league games back to back, so really important that we you know, get this this kind of run now off to a good start.
Yeah, that's the thing. You had your opening 2 matches, you've had a bit of a break. I know there's a lot of players involved in the Fitzgibbon Cup. Are you glad now? I mean, not that you're glad that it's over, but from a managerial and a backroom team point of view, you know what you have in terms of injuries and niggles coming into the remaining three or four games, as you said.
Yeah, look, obviously, there's a great, the lads are involved with MTU and UCC. Look, pretty that one of them didn't get to the Fitzgibbon final, you know, but look, from our point of view, it is a difficult time, because look, you are down bodies, and looking, you kind of end up having kind of down bodies at training, because we left the lads really focused with the colleges. So it is great to get fellas back. You know, you've kind of 30 fellas on the field, you have to do your 15v15s, and it makes it very realistic in practicing the way you want to play and the way you want to go and attack the opposition as well. So look, great to have the lads back, and it's great for themselves as well, because look, it's very hard when fellas are nipping in and out of inter-county sessions to go to Fitzgibbon sessions to actually be playing them, and you know, you're trying to give, they're all younger guys as such, with, you know, maybe with the exception of 1 or 2 fellas that are kind of seasoned members of our panel and team at the moment, but you just want to give them the best opportunity to perform. And look, if they're not really in kind of training with the senior squad as much as they should be or could be, it's very hard to kind of throw them into with a really, really competitive league, you know.
I suppose on the flip side of that, Pat, and not that it's a good thing, but you are short a couple of players still out with injury. Seamus Harnady, Dickie Dalton is still suspended. This is an opportunity for those fringe players that you've talked about, that if they've had an opportunity to show what they can do in the Fitzgibbon, now because of the way that Cork are with the depth of your squad, there is a real opportunity here, because players are just temporarily out, to stake a claim for that starting place in the jersey. So I assume you're seeing an uptick in training as the season progresses. You're seeing more and more intensity.
Yeah, look, exactly. But look, that's where you need to see it. Look, obviously, look, as I've spoken before, that your club form will get you into the county training, and then it's what you do inside the county training to get your opportunities. And look, when you have a panel of 36, then only 15 can play, and only 26 can come onto the panel, and only 5 subs can come on. So look, it's really, really competitive. So you have to be showing it in training first and foremost, so you can get it done, you know.
What have you thought about the overall quality of the National League, not just your own games, but what you've seen on television and whatever games that you've watched yourself? I mean, there does seem to be a bit of an edge to it. I mean, everybody wants to get going as the start of the season and they're looking towards the summer. But there does seem to be a nuzz at Limerick, and including Tipperary and the way Kilkenny have started as well. Big edge to these counties that they want to get up and running as quickly as possible and lay that foundation for later on in the year.
Look, everyone takes the league very serious. It's just whether you're looking at this, it's where you are, kind of, from your own development. And look, everyone wants to win games. And I suppose, look, it's a situation where you're kind of looking what your squad is and whether you have your, what you would consider your first team players ready, and then you're kind of looking at fellas. So, look, it was always going to be, look, nobody wants to get relegated, really. Do you know what I mean? So it was always going to be highly, highly competitive. And look, I suppose, in fairness, the pitches and the weather hasn't been great for fast open hurling to a degree. But look, especially in our own two games, there were kind of really, really poor nights. You know? So, look, as it gets into it now, look, it's probably a bit different than what you get in championships. So, but look, from our point of view, look, we're looking for great intensity and great honesty of effort from our lads in all these games at the moment. And then obviously you're building the way you want to play and how you can improve your skill levels over the next couple of weeks when we get into kind of the 22nd of April against Clare.
Has anything in what you've seen from your own team in the opening couple of matches surprised you, or anything that you weren't expecting to see? I mean, you're not going to name individuals, but just in terms of things apart from the poor weather and the bad pitches, you are where Cork want to be right now?
Look, we'd be happy enough. Look, obviously, look, you're always trying to strive for the next best session or the next best game, and you know you're taking the training session and trying to get better every night incrementally. And look, we'd be very happy where our lads are from a physical perspective as regards fitness wise and strength wise. We've an awful lot of that done. Look, we are very cognizant, right, that we haven't an awful lot of gameplay done. As regards not being at those 15v15s that you need to be doing in training. But look, we know we're going to get those done as well as it goes on. Look, there are more stuff that you kind of you can get done as the weather improves a bit, and you get into March and you get into your real games. But these three games are something that we've really been targeting as regards having a look at fellas and watching the way we want to play the game going forward, and seeing can we develop different situations and different combinations of players that'll be beneficial to us in the Munster Championship.
And do you treat this as a block like you treated the first two games, Pat? Get a look at the guys you want to take a look at. I know over the next three games you've got Tip, then you're at home to Kilkenny and Clare, that over the next couple of weeks you work very closely with the backroom team and the strength and conditioning guys just to see guys' workload. I mean, you're looking at it as a block.
Oh yeah, exactly. Look, realistically, look, you have your block before Christmas and you have your kind of mandatory time that you take off, which is GPA mandatory time that you take off, then you get back in and meet 6 weeks really between kind of the 4 weeks in January, and then you're kind of your week and a half, kind of 6 weeks that you have your two league games. So that was one block, and then we had a block that we knew we'd have the 2 or 3 weeks off, and that gave us a kind of from a games, and that gave us an opportunity to kind of obviously do a bit more extra kind of running or a bit more extra physical stuff, but also give the lads building a break into it because like, it is intense. And like, so we built in a bit of a break there over different periods of giving lads a night off and giving them three or four sessions off together. But there's gas even in the county, like you give them a night off but they still have running to do, so they still take away their GPSs to keep them dipping away. So it's just more kind of it's more them having a freedom that they don't have to come to Cork or don't have to come into an organised session, and they can get it done themselves. So, but like this 3 weeks now is a really busy 3 weeks for us, and you know that's thing, and it's a really great way for us to practice a lot of our systems and a lot of our, even from a managing point of view, a lot of our systems as regards what we want to bring into the Munster Championship, how we review games and analyse games, and then you know being able to park a result. You know, like tonight against Limerick, Tipperary, whatever it is, you park it quickly so that you can move on to Kilkenny game, and same against Kilkenny, same you train, accesses and parkers, and then move on to the Clare game, and that's great practice for what you'll have to do in the Munster Championship with two games back to back and then a break and then two games back to back.
I sense a hunger, and I don't sense it from one player. I sense it from the entire panel and the games that I've watched so far this year. I know inter-county players have a natural hunger and they want to do the minimum when you put on that red jersey. You have to have the hunger to want to win. But I sense coming out of last year that there's an increased hunger and there's a little bit more edge to the panel this year. Is that a fair comment or does it make any sense?
No, look. What I would say is, look, I suppose there's probably more belief out of where we played last year and where we got to. Obviously, there is an obvious disappointment that you didn't get any trophy of anything at all. So that's a huge driving force for us as a team, as a management team. But look, I think there's a great unity within the group, great kind of togetherness within the group now, and that kind of drives it on. And look, at the end of the day, look, competition, you know, builds a bit of an edge. You know, so everyone knows that, look, their place isn't safe. And, you know, look, we've a lot of talent and we've a lot of fellas coming. And, you know, even being out injured, it's, or even taking, being out injured, whatever small bit of time you're out, it's hard to get back in. you know, and that's where we're stressing to. Maybe some of the lads that would be kind of seen as starters within Cork, around the Cork, from the Cork public, that like there's no one kind of sure what a place here, and it's up to everybody fight for it. So that, look, that creates a bit of an edge, and I think that's what every manager is looking at. You know, you see that in Clare, you see that in Limerick, and in every county, you've seen it for Kilkenny for years and years. You know what I mean? That hunger to get something, or that hunger to be on the team, is what creates that edge. And I think, look, that's great for us as a management team, and it's great for the players.
And it's great for the supporters too. Later on this evening, Allianz Hurling League Division 1A at 7:30 p.m. in FPD Semple Stadium in Thurles is Tipperary versus Cork. On behalf of everybody here on the Big Red Bench, Cork senior manager Pat Ryan, thanks very, very much for joining us, and the best of luck this evening.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, best of luck to everyone involved. The ref's whistle has gone for half time here. Stay with us as we've plenty more to come from the LGFA world, as well as we pop in on Cork City's Greg Bulger ahead of their huge fixture in Tannadice Stadium tomorrow against Shamrock. Don't go anywhere. Back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey with you for the next half hour. Now tomorrow, the Cork LGFA senior footballers travel to Castle Blaney for their clash with Monaghan, which throws in at 2 p.m. The county sit joint second in the league table on 6 points each after three rounds of games, so a close encounter is expected between the two sides. John McCarthy spoke to LGFA senior manager Joe Carroll and captain Sarah Leahy ahead of the Rebels' latest National League outing.
On Sunday, February 23rd at 2 p.m. in Castle Blaney, Cork played their fourth Lidl Ladies NFL Division 2 fixture of the season away to a Monaghan side that they sit joint second with in the league standings, just behind leaders Galway. On the line now, we've got the Cork LGFA senior manager, Joe Carroll. Joe, how are you?
Good, sure.
Busy time for you. How have preparations gone for this game? And it's a big game for you.
Yeah, preparations are going well, but whether it's disrupted, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's been very bad. There's a lot of rain falling, so pitches have been a problem. But so look, we're working away with it. I suppose it's the same in every other county at the moment. So we're doing the best we can, and the preparations are going quite well.
You face a Monaghan team on an identical record to yourself, and you'd have seen from their matches thus far, they've been all very tight games. They were unlucky to lose to Donegal from a free that dropped short just right at the last minute when they conceded a goal. But under Darren Swift, this is a very, very hard team to break down, Joe.
Yeah, it will be, and look, I suppose all the Northern teams are very defensive, so we have to be very, very patient. I saw them playing Tipperary, and you know, Tipperary probably could have been beaten that day, but at the same time, there wasn't much of a difference in themselves and Tipperary, and we got a very, very good game from Tipperary. It was only in the second half that we pulled away from them, so we'd be expecting the same on Sunday.
Going to be a big test for you all over the pitch, especially their full forward Ava Sherry, who's having a fantastic season. And in midfield, Joe, they've got two really good standout players, Jody McQuillan and Nia Flanagan, who've done well as well. But for you, on your side of things from Cork, how pleased are you with the consistency that you're getting from your team that are going to be marking these three very dangerous players?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're a small bit. I wouldn't say we're totally consistent here at the moment. Like we're playing very well in patches of the match, and more patches than we're not. So I suppose that will come with training, and I suppose what we are doing is basically focusing on ourselves rather than focusing on an opposition majorly at the moment. Like, you know, we didn't do that against Tipperary, and they had a lot of very good players as well, so it worked for us on the day, and we had to make a few positional switches that improved the thing as it went on, and we'd be looking to do this probably for the same on Sunday next.
You've had a decent spread of scorers, 12 different scorers in the three games. I know Katie Quirk is top of the charts, and naturally so, she's a very, very talented player, but how pleased are you that, you know, the scores are being spread around and it's not just Katie in all of the games thus far?
Yeah, we've been looking very closely at that since we started, actually, because our efficiency up front was quite low, and I think against the Tipperary we brought it up a good bit, and we'd be hoping to take it higher, and we're getting more players on the scoreboard as well other than Katie Quirk, which is a very good secret. You know, especially the second half against the Tipperary, the last day we kicked in a bit, maybe against Westmeath in the first half, but both the Galway match and the second half against Westmeath, we didn't do that. But it's great to see that there are more people putting their hand up and putting scores on the board.
They certainly are. At the opposite end of the pitch, you've been equally impressive. One goal conceded from open play and two clean sheets. What do you put that down to, Joe?
I suppose it's probably hard work all over the pitch, really. Our defence has been quite good, but it's quite hard work all over the pitch, and we'd be happy with that. You know, our goalkeeper Sarah Murphy has been in goals for the three matches so far, and she's done very well, made one or two very, very, very good saves, and she's been very consistent as well, so hopefully that continues on Sunday.
You talked to us at the start of the season about taking the season as the first three games as a block. Now you're into the second part of it. You've got Monaghan obviously this weekend, and that's your only focus right now. But after that, you've got a couple of important games at home to Roscommon and also at home to Clare before travelling up to Donegal. I know you're not looking beyond Monaghan, but are you treating this as a separate block of four again and going again with the same players?
Yeah, well, I suppose we'll probably treat it as a block maybe of two first and then maybe two again, in that the Monaghan match and the Roscommon match are fairly close together, and then maybe a small bit of a breather again, and the colleges will be kicking in there as well if teams get to the O'Connor Cup weekend in Belfast. Like, so we're taking it as a block of two, and we're trying to manage that as well, and we are kind of maybe rotating players on the panel as well a bit, just to see that we get a look at everybody and so on.
Yeah, and just to finish, we have to ask you, as and with your role with UCC and all those upcoming college games, how have things gone there, as well as looking after the Cork senior team? How have you looked after the UCC and found the time to do both?
Busy, Joe, I would say. It's difficult on the management, and I suppose it's also difficult on the players because they're out so much. But we're monitoring it the best we can. We're making sure like that they don't get overloaded in training-wise and things like that, and we play this week now. We play Ulster University Johnstone in our second match in UCC, and if they get through that, they qualify for the finals there the weekend of the 15th, 16th of March. So, but if we lose tonight, we'd have to play another game, which probably wouldn't suit, like, from the point of view of the county and trying to run UCC as well. So, look, we'll hope for the best against them. They're quite good.
Indeed. Well, listen, on behalf of everyone in the Big Red Bench, we wish you well with UCC in those upcoming games, and also on Sunday the 23rd of February, the Leader Ladies NFL Division 2 fourth round clash, Monaghan versus Cork in Castle Blaney with a 2 p.m. throw-in. Cork LGFA Senior Manager Joe Carroll, thanks once again for your time.
Thanks, Joe.
You're also caught up with Captain Sarah Leahy.
Now we're joined here on the Big Red Bench once again by the Cork LGFA senior captain, Ahadis Sarah Leahy, ahead of the Rebels' big, big ladies NFL Division 2 game this weekend up in Castle Blaney. Sarah, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Good to talk to you again. Part of being the Cork Intercounty senior captain, you have to keep up the media duty, so here's another one. Let's get it out of the way. On Sunday, 23rd of February, the lead ladies NFL Division 2, the fourth round up in Castle Blaney with a 2 p.m. throw-in. It's Monaghan versus Cork. As it stands going into the weekend, Galway are top of the table on maximum points and 9. That's from 3 games. And then we have Cork and Monaghan both on 6 points apiece. From your point of view, Sarah, obviously this game doesn't need to sell itself. It is a big game between two counties with serious aspirations of getting out of Division 2, identical records. This is going to be tough.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. It's going to be a tough game, especially considering, the travel and how far up the country it is. But look, our preparation has gone well, so we're quietly confident going into it now, and hopefully it all goes well.
You also have the benefits there of having travelled up to Tuam to play Galway, so you've got a road trip under the belt already. Does that make a difference?
Yeah, no, it does. Look, we learned from the game against Galway and every other game that we've played so far. So hopefully now that we can correct a few of those mistakes that we made against Galway, especially with the travel and stuff. And hopefully now our first half will be more tuned in than we were in the last few games.
Yeah, the previous game against Tipperary, when you won away in Tipperary and Feathered, fantastic second half performance. You were right, in the first half you were under the cosh, but look, this is Division 2. These are really determined teams, and you knew coming into this season that every team in Division 2 would want to take the Cork scalp, and you're finding that out now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's absolutely no easy game. And fixing our attitude and our energy for our first half anyway in every match is something that we're trying to improve upon. So hopefully now against Monaghan this weekend, that's something that we can focus on.
You've also done well in defence in terms of 2 clean sheets. You've only conceded 1 goal from open play in 3 National League games, irrespective of any division. I would imagine that's something you and your defence and your goalkeeper and your coaches are very proud of.
It has been going well. You know, goals being conceded and stuff, that I think that's definitely, or the lack of them being conceded, I think that could be contributed to by the forward play as well, and, you know, them slowing down the break from defence from the opposition. So I think so far we're happy with how it's going, but there's definitely improvements that need to be made So hopefully we can keep improving that way.
And it goes without saying, Sarah, but at this time of the year, we have to kind of remember as well, like, we're looking at results and points and tables, but it's only February. I mean, the real meat and drink comes later in the summer in the Provincial and the All-Ireland Championships. But how much would it mean to the Cork team? Obviously, you want to get out of Division 2 with the first time of asking, but is it a case of, look, let's hit a level of consistency as often as we can over these weeks and the results might take care of themselves?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think with the league, you know, perspective is important as well. You know, there are other goals, such as, you know, the team gelling together, gelling with the new management, just getting confident again. But of course, at the end of the day, we'd love to get out of Division 2 and we'd love to get as many wins as we can under our belt.
I know the intensity of the Cork senior LGFA training sessions. I've seen them down through the years. Now that the new management team have had a couple of months in working with the, is it a bit more settled now coming into a big match like this, and that everybody's kind of settled into their roles, both as coaches and the players know what to expect?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, we're continuously improving and it's quite positive at training. And look, we're also getting to know each other properly, but it's definitely more settled. And so far, no complaints. So, all good so far.
Yes, so far, no complaints. They'll be delighted to hear that, Sarah. Not that there will be any complaints. Yeah. As centre-back and as captain, I've seen you out on the pitch. You have a very, very good view of what's going on because you're holding down the 40. You've had McCleary, you've had Rush and Corkery either side of you for much of the National League campaign. But this role in this position, is this what suits you best? Are you happiest in this position?
Yeah, no, look, with the competition there at the panel at the minute, to make the panel and the 15, I'd literally be happy to play anywhere. Obviously, I would be probably more of a defender, but look, with the girls around me and stuff like that, I think defending is definitely something that's done in groups and, you know, as a whole team. So the girls around me are making the job that bit easier. And I think communication is something that we've been working on, you know, as an entire panel. So on the pitch, I think defending is that bit, I wouldn't say easier, but it just works that bit better when we are loud and we are communicating as a team. So we have been working on that, and hopefully we'll be applying that again this weekend against Monaghan.
Yes, you're playing a Monaghan team who've also won twice and lost once in their opening three games, much like yourselves. They were pushed all the way by Tipperary, as you were in the first half. You may not have come across them in a while, Sarah, but their reputation and their ability and the fact that they haven't managed as many points as you. If you put 54 points up on the board after three games, they've put up 25, but they've only conceded 25, which is better than you. So this is clearly a well-drilled team and playing on their home patch. I suppose patience would be key here going up to Castle Blaney on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we do with every opposition, we've been training as hard as we can. And really, at the end of the day, we can only really control the controllables. So we've been focusing on our own play and our own style. So hopefully we can apply that now this weekend. But as you said, with the travel and with any game in Division 2, it's going to be a tough game. So hopefully we learn from the mistakes in past games and get a win this weekend.
As captain of the Cork senior football team, you have a lot of responsibilities both on and off the pitch, Sarah, which I know you're getting well used to now at this stage. You've been in a dressing room full of leaders in Ada, in winning a county, and even all the years you weren't winning a county. But as an inter-county player in 2025 and as a captain, what is the work-life balance like for you? Because there's so many demands on you at training and when you're in match day situations as a captain, and even now with the media looking for interviews and stuff, it all takes time, it all adds up. But from your perspective as a captain of an inter-county senior team in 2025, how are you dealing, or how do you find the work-life balance?
So it has been an adjustment for sure, and I've been lucky, as you said, to have played alongside so many leaders in the last few years and throughout my entire career. So I have learned from them. I'm also lucky to have the girls I have around me with Cork and the management. Like, there's a lot of delegation and, you know, shared responsibilities there. And it, of course, is like an honour to have all of those responsibilities and the opportunity to, you know, to be involved. But I would also say that support such as the GPA and stuff are really benefiting us all as players, especially with that work-life balance. We are benefiting greatly for them, and they're really generous. I can't really complain that way. It is definitely quite busy, but I think, you know, I have learned over the years that prioritising and time management is something that just comes with being an inter-county player. And it is an honour to have this kind of a schedule. So yeah, no, I can't complain.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job so far as Cork senior LGFA captain. I can see that, and it's great to hear that you are managing the work-life balance so well. On Sunday, February 23rd at 2 p.m. in Castleblaney in County Monaghan, the Lidl LGFA NFL Division 2, the fourth round begins with Cork travelling to Monaghan. On behalf of everybody here at the Big Red Bench, Sarah, we wish you all the best.
Perfect, thank you for having me.
Yeah, best of luck to them in their clash versus Monaghan tomorrow at 2 in Castleblaney. To Cork City action now, and after drawing 2-2 with the Galway United side that were probably there for the taking, Cork City take on Shamrock tomorrow in Talla. Rory has been speaking with Cork City stalwart Greg Bulger to preview the game.
All right, with Greg Bulger ahead of a big game against Shamrock Rovers coming up this coming Sunday. First off, Greg, just to look back on last week, your first game back in the Premier Division, a decent performance against a decent Galway side last week.
Yeah, I suppose we were disappointed not to get 3 points. I thought the first half we were excellent, to be fair. Obviously, we knew what Galway were about. We know what John Coffey's teams are about, and we knew it was going to be a tough challenge. Maybe if we were a bit more clinical in the first half, it would have helped us probably get the 3 points. But maybe second half we didn't do as much as we probably wanted. But I think maybe a draw is probably the fairest result in a way. They were clinical. We kind of left opportunities go, but loads of positives and from the group and from everyone and performances. So obviously there's a lot of new players in here as well in the building, so it was nice for them to get a taste of it. And obviously loads of positives to take from it and bring them into Sunday now, you know.
I think that was a big positive actually was the new players, Greg, in that they kind of seamlessly slot in, and it looked like he had a very good kind of, I suppose, understanding already at this stage of the season.
Yeah, well look, obviously we've got 6-7 maybe 8 pre-season games. It's a tight group. We've been in. We've been working on relationships outside of the pitch and stuff like that. So I think that helps. I think we've gelled well from the start. Obviously, credit to Tim and the management staff getting the recruiting, getting the players in. They're all good, great lads. I think the lads have started well. We've been really lucky with no injuries really in pre-season and stuff. So we got a lot of minutes on the pitch. So I think it boded well for the first game and stuff, so hopefully we can carry that on now.
And man of the match for yourself as well in the first game, I mean, like, which is obviously fantastic. You're obviously happy with your own performance, I'd imagine, are you?
Yeah, no, look, doing my job, is it Roy Keane, is it? It's doing my job, really. I think there was a lot of good performances from a lot of the players, a lot of the teams, so look, it could have gone either way. It was a rough night, the pitch cut up a bit, so it was one of them where we kind of had to dig in and make sure that if we couldn't get to 3, that at least we got one point and stuff. So look, I'm happy how I played. First game, long season to go, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is, yeah. Shamrock Rovers to come now on Sunday. I suppose from a Cork City perspective, the fact that they went to extra time last night has to be, I suppose, a positive for you guys.
Yeah, look, it's obviously, I think I was talking to a few lads, it's obviously a lot easier to probably recover when you win games than when you lose them. So look, they've been playing high level games for the last 3 or 4 years. I'm sure they're well used to it. You look at there's about 7 or 8 probably senior players not playing yesterday, and they're missing. So look, and there's young lads coming in, they're ready to play. So and there's no doubt, and we're under no illusions, they'll be ready, and we'll have to be ready. And it's a game we're looking forward to. Yeah, the 120 minutes there yesterday, you could say it helps us, but it's about what we do and what way we approach the game, and we're looking to go get the 3 points, and that'll be the case for every game this year. So it's one we're looking forward to.
When you compare this year to last year, Greg, I mean, like, how has Cork City's style of football evolved and changed, or is it too early in the season to say that?
Maybe a bit early. Obviously, I think the first division is a lot different, to be fair. So like a lot of teams in the first division are probably setting up to stop you and stuff like that and try and nullify you and frustrate you. So I think this year every team, to be fair, obviously they'll do that as well, but every team goes for it and fancies themselves, and it's probably a more attacking style of play than it is in the first division. You're probably playing against low blocks and stuff like that, so it's a kind of a different game. You kind of approach it a bit different. Well, this year I think maybe more teams are not open as such, but more teams are going for it, you know, and might suit us a bit more this year with the players we have, the pace in the team and the creativity. So yeah, look, there is a bit of a difference. Obviously, I think the intensity of the games is a lot higher. So it's important that we do things right when the games are over during the week, that we recover right and we're ready to go again. But look, like I said, it's where the club wants to be, is the Premier Division, and we're a relative challenge, so let's get going and see what we were about and stuff. But like I said, again, looking forward to Sunday tests against probably the flag bearers of the league in Europe for the last number of years, 4 or 5 years. So it's a great test for us, and obviously we've got young lads in the squad as well. We're a young team, bar the one grandpa. It's a case where it's a good test for us, and we're really looking forward to it.
And as you just referred to yourself as a grandpa there, Greg, is it a case that you have to kind of manage your starts and your minutes this season, or are you just saying to Tim, I want to start every game?
No, look, that's obviously up to Tim. I haven't missed any training session in pre-season, played all the minutes I meant to play in the games and stuff. So look, there might be some games, maybe double headers in the weekends and stuff like that might be a bit far for me, but I feel good. So look, it's up to the manager. Then some games he might want to jink the formation or whatever, so yeah, I'm okay with that. But all hands on deck for me, I'll be ready when he calls on me, you know.
Great stuff from Greg. Best of luck to Cork City in Tallaght tomorrow at 6. A fairly uneventful affair in their first league outing in Cove last night for Cove Ramblers, naturally enough, in their Munster Derby fixture versus Kerry. Rory caught up with boss Mick McDermott earlier in the week to look ahead to the season.
All right, delighted to be joined on the line by Cove Ramblers boss Michael McDermott ahead of their first home game of the season tomorrow night. Michael, how are you, sir?
Good, all good so far.
So yeah, a great result last week, Michael. I suppose, like, the nature of that comeback, I suppose, shows you a lot about the character of your squad.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's 2-0 down with not so long to go. I mean, yeah, you're starting to think, how can we change this up a bit? But to be fair to the players that were on the pitch and the players that we brought in, they were superb. They kept going and kept going, and once they got the first one and second one, and to pull it out and get the third one, a great goal, was good feeling at the end of the night.
And I'd imagine, like, what that does, I suppose, for team morale and the buzz afterwards in the dressing room must have been something else.
Yeah, I mean, we went down there to play, and it was exactly as we expected and exactly as we had told the players. You know, it's going to be a very physical game. It's going to be very direct at times. You got to win your duels, and, you know, we conceded a poor one, and then we conceded off a set piece. So, you know, it was exactly what we expected. So there was no surprises. But, like you said, it was brilliant for the boys to, like we did against Cork City in the cup. I mean, we kept fighting till the end, and it shows a bit of resilience, and we have quality, no doubt about that, but it's nice to see that these boys are willing to dig in and show the resilience it's needed to get results.
Yeah, certainly. So and another big Munster derby to come tomorrow night against Kerry. It'll be your first league game at St. Comyn's Park as well. The buzz around Cove Ramblers, Michael, this season has been fantastic. I'm down in Cove quite a bit, and I see, like, you know, the jerseys out and about in the place, and the hats, and you can really sense that the Cove Ramblers has really grabbed the public's attention down in Cove this year.
Yeah, I think it's a town that is, you know, they support their local club. They always have. Obviously, they've been through some tough years. I know 2 years ago in the playoff, and, you know, last year was probably a disappointing season for them. But the town, they crave success. The town crave, you know, a good team down here. So hopefully we can give them that. And as I say to the players, you know, these fans will cheer you off the park if you show effort, commitment, and dedication. You know, you're playing for the town, basically. So I think we've assembled a team that are willing to do that, between their where they're from, their age profile, you know, where they've come from. So I think that was part of our recruitment, to bring players that want to play for Cove, that can play for Cove, that will represent the town well. So the fans have responded, to be honest. Obviously, it's the start of the season. We've only played a couple of games so far, but the first home game, hopefully we can give them something to go home happy about.
And for yourself, Michael, personally, how have you settled in, and I suppose how has Cove, I suppose, kind of welcomed you, I guess?
It's been superb. Honestly, it's been, I was away in the Middle East for years. I moved home to Belfast for a few. I moved away again to the Middle East. And to move to Cove, it wasn't on my radar, really. But when I met the people, I met the owners, I visited the town, I said, there's something here. Here I am, and it's been nothing but great. But
as I always say, it's always great at the start of the season. Everything's rosy at the start. But hopefully we've assembled a team that can continue and build on the current support we have, because it's a, as I said, it's a cracking wee club and a cracking wee time.
Yeah, it certainly is. Just looking at, the, I suppose, the odds for this season, Michael, I mean, like, you're second favourites to win the first division. I mean, like, is there pressure on you to get promoted this season?
No, there's pressure to win games. I mean, it's always, but that's whether you're playing in the Munster Senior Cup or playing in the league or playing in, you know, there's always pressure to win games, but pressure to get promoted or pressure to win trophies, I don't think that's something that we even think about on a weekly basis. It's just the next one, as I say, it's one game 36 times, and it's a long road ahead, so we'll give it a go on every one.
That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Best of luck to the Cork hurlers tonight, and safe travels for everyone heading. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.